This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Tennessee Turfgrass Association. This episode is sponsored in part by BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode of Tennessee Turfgrass, we're interviewing Paul Webb, General Manager and Golf Course Superintendent at Humboldt Country Club and TTA Board Member. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us this morning. I'm just going to jump right in and ask you a little bit about your current position there in Humboldt. How long have you been in that job?
I've been the general manager and golf course superintendent since August of 2011. So just a little over 9 years. I came to Humboldt Golf and Country Club in February of 2010 as the superintendent alone. And after a year and a half of being here, there was some turnover in different management positions. And I was asked by the board to become general manager and superintendent on an interim basis. And 9 years later, we're still here.
So in having both of those titles, what additional responsibilities do you have? And what does a day look like when you hold both of those titles?
It's more focused on the turf side because I still feel like that's the most important asset of the golf course or of the club. And it is my background, so I feel more comfortable in it as well. But as far as the general manager, I used to have to do a lot more day-to-day tournament operations and food and beverage. And over the years, our club has expanded in a way of hiring some more management underneath me, and it's just given me an opportunity to do more oversight and not as much hands-on with those different operations. But I'm still responsible of reporting to our board of directors on a weekly and monthly basis, work hand-in-hand with our club officers and committee members, and responsible for the yearly budget of the entire property. So it's every day is a different challenge, whether it's something on the golf course, in the clubhouse, dealing with a swimming pool, and just all aspects of a country club.
That is a wide scope of work and responsibility for sure. Yeah, I know that I frequently hear that there are unique challenges to really addressing what the board wants to see and also addressing what members want to see. Do you feel like that's sometimes an uphill battle, or are you leveled off on that part of the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat leveled off, I'd say. I've been here as so long that I know what, for the most part, I know what they expect. I know what were the areas that we need to improve. Our board is constantly looking at ways to make things better, which is exciting for someone like me that they don't want to just have status quo. They want to, whether it's on a monthly, yearly basis, that the entire club is looking at any facet or any angle to make this place better. And that's a good thing for me, because we don't just get stuck in a rut doing the same thing over and over.
That's great. So let's rewind a little bit and let's talk about, how did you get into turfgrass and what jobs and what path led you to your current position?
I guess, I'm a little bit different than your typical turf manager. I did not start out in college to go through the agronomy path. I went to the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, started out as a business major, and then after a couple of years, decided that I really wanted to do something in within sports, but I didn't know what. So I got a degree in sport management, and I minored in business. But while I in sport management, I did a couple internships at various golf courses, like Fair Oaks in Oakland, Tennessee, and Getty's U in Knoxville, and Covington Country Club in Covington, Tennessee. And kind of after graduating, those opportunities opened my eyes to the fact that I wanted to be on the agronomy side of it. So once I'd graduated from Knoxville, I began dating my wife. So, and she was a nursing major at UT Martin. So I decided, why not go get another degree? So I went to Martin and continued to work in golf at a couple of different courses and ended up getting a degree in agriculture with a golf course and landscape management. And once I graduated from there is when I got my first assistant job at Colonial in Memphis.
So that's an interesting balance that you've got the sport management business and the turf management side of it. I think that probably gives you a unique perspective from both the board or the management side and the golfers and turf. Has that been helpful in guiding your career path?
Yes, it has. Like I said, right out of college, I had worked at a golf course, and while I was at UT Martin, and became superintendent right out of college, and was after 5 months or so, I realized that I wasn't ready to be a superintendent, and that's when I decided to go back into the assistant area, and then was in Memphis for a couple years. And once I think I was there a couple, I wasn't even there 2 years, and I was just ready to go back out on my own and run my own show. And I think one of the things that gave me a leg up getting the job as superintendent at Humboldt was the education background that I had with a business, the sport management and business, along with the turf degree. And it's also helped me as a general manager being able to see, have the perspective of the entire operation, not just what goes on at the maintenance shop.
Definitely. So you are now a Tennessee Turfgrass Association board member. How long have you been serving in that role?
January will be 4 years.
So what changes have you seen over that time frame that you think have been important to turfgrass managers in the state?
The biggest change I've seen as far as the association is, I believe that there was a perception for many years that the TTA was just basically a golf course superintendent's association and conference was strictly geared towards superintendents. And I think the TTA, since I've been a board member, I've seen the change of making it more open and welcoming to the sports turf and the landscape and really making it a quote unquote turfgrass association, not a just golf course or golf course superintendents association. I think that's important because there's only, I guess, roughly 325 golf courses in the state, in 95 counties. So it's very important for the association to be geared towards turfgrass managers of all kinds, because it's a lot bigger than just golf.
Definitely. In the last 6 months, in 2020, as we've been dealing with some unique challenges, the TTA has really gone to bat for turfgrass managers across the state in all areas with COVID restrictions and lockdowns. Can you give us a little perspective on how the board worked together to create that response that we've all seen and appreciated so much?
Yeah, I think the board did a great job of not just working together as a Tennessee Turfgrass Association board, but also reaching out to the other associations that are relevant to turfgrass, and just made a collaborative effort of reaching out to our elected officials and different people to make sure that they understood how essential golf was. And I think that the ability for golf to be viewed as an essential business has really kicked off an unbelievable year for a lot of golf courses. I know for us that we've seen an unprecedented amount of growth in our membership and the amount of play. And over the last 6 months, we sat there in a March board meeting talking about how many people we were going to lose. And the board basically told me to go back to the drawing board and present another budget of just a massive loss that, how are we going to cope with this? And a month later, our membership had probably grown by 10%, or 2 months later, we'd grown by 10%. So it's been a really good year for us. I know there's evidence or examples of golf courses that probably have not had as good a year as us, but I think the association and the board making sure that the elected officials in the state knew that we were going to be an important part of getting through this COVID situation just by giving individuals in the state an avenue to get out of the house and go do something normal. And I think that was very important.
Absolutely. So when you kind of prepare yourself and your team for a slowdown, and like you said, the board sending you back to the drawing board with that budget, and then this kind of surprising boom and really a lot more business, has that changed how you've had to manage the course this season?
Somewhat. Besides the flag, pulling all the rakes off and the tee markers coming, removing all the things that people could touch and possibly spread the virus. I feel like our fertility program was probably upped a little bit because of the amount of traffic. We've got areas that they've just been beaten down. Yeah, we didn't change a whole lot of our cultural practices. We kept, airifications and stuff like that the same as we normally would, but except for having to move them, because we did have to move some tournaments around and back some things up because we were in such a period of unknown. So those are really the only examples of us really doing anything different outside of a normal year. It's just we just saw a whole lot more people at the course, and it's a great thing for us. I don't want to have a virus every year. I don't want to have to wear masks and do all that stuff, but the interest in golf the last 6 months has been exciting.
All right, so let's shift gears and talk about outside of what I know is a very busy schedule at work and with serving on the board. What do you do in your free time? You have a family, and how do you guys find some time to blow off steam outside of work?
I do have a family. My wife and I have been married for a little over 13 years. We have four boys, so they're 11, 8, 3, and 1. And so they are the main focus outside of work, because it's always something going on. I'm a pretty avid outdoorsman. I love hunting and playing golf. I don't play as much golf as I would like to, and I really don't like playing here because I feel like I see more stuff that I think needs to be worked on than enjoying a round of golf. But just going and spending time with friends and family and getting the chance to be in the outdoors doing something is always a good time to do something, be doing something away from work.
Well, frankly, I'm surprised that you get to play golf at all with four boys those ages. So congrats on that. That's pretty neat.
A lot of time it's with them. So,
well, it's good to start early. Do your older boys get to hunt with you at all?
They do. My oldest he's more into it than the second one's more. He likes playing golf a little bit more, I think, than they both are. Yeah, excited to do really anything outside or with me. So it's a good time. Anytime I can go anywhere with them, but they do enjoy hunting, fishing, and going to the lake and doing all that kind of stuff. Well, as far as a mentor goes, I've worked for several different people for short periods of time, from internships to being an assistant. I mean, that's one thing about me being an assistant for less than 2 years, even though I worked for two different superintendents at that one golf course. I don't really feel like I have a mentor per se in this industry. Like I said, I've just looking at my resume, I've worked at some decent tracks. And I think any of the guys that I work for at those places are very capable superintendents and very knowledgeable. And I don't want to give credit to one guy versus another.
Okay.
Just, yeah. I guess the biggest thing is the guys that I have worked for have all taught me something and have helped me get to where I am right now. And I appreciate everything that they did for me to get me to this point.
So what do you feel is the biggest challenge facing the turfgrass industry right now?
I think most people would agree that the biggest challenge to our industry is labor. And as far as, especially on the golf course side, a lot of it boils down to two things is finding younger individuals these days that want to work and want to work outside and for the money that we're able to pay. I think most clubs struggle with the idea of paying a decent wage for the individuals that they have. We rely so heavily on seasonal help, and I feel like it hurts a lot of clubs, especially ours, just because it would be so much better for clubs to find some more money in the budget and pay their full-time staff more and be able to retain more full-time staff year round and have that training and retention that a lot of companies have, where it's like a revolving door for us with as far as labor goes.
Definitely. So, Paul, let's close with one final question. What would your advice be for people entering the turfgrass industry now?
I guess the best thing that I would tell them to do is be willing to go and gain any experience you can get from any course. I think a lot of these guys get to a position where they don't want to. They only want to work high end golf, and I don't blame them. There's got a lot of great experience, but for somebody like myself that came from as an assistant from a colonial country club and came to a small town country club and thought, you know, I'm gonna be a superintendent here for a few years, and then I'm looking for the next step. And then almost 11 years later, I've got three more kids and a great job for a great club. And I just think that these younger guys should get as much experience as they can and be willing to go to any kind of club that makes them happy. It's not always about the title and the money. It's also about being at a club where you feel like you can make a difference and be happy.
That is great advice, Paul. Thank you again for joining us.
Not a problem.
Don't miss an episode of Tennessee Turfgrass. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.